Welcome to 2018.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, what a joy to start the new year together here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, so glad to be with you. And yes, we have our brand new clock. So we start 3 minutes later in the hour, those who listen live on radio, and then have longer segments, less breaks, means more radio time for you. So welcome, everyone listening live, everyone listening on podcast, everyone watching on YouTube. Welcome, welcome. We cannot do a video feed today. So on YouTube, on Facebook, all you're getting is the audio. God willing, tomorrow, second of the year, we'll be back to our video and audio feed at the same time. But I just want to welcome you all. I want to make this a special broadcast as we start the year together. And many of us really start the new year with great aspirations. We start the new year thinking this year is going to be different. And I'm Mr. Optimist. Tomorrow's going to be better than today. Next year is going to be better than this year. And it's easy to fool ourselves. You know, it's easy to deceive ourselves. It's easy to think that something is happening just because the time is going. But the only thing that changes with time is we get older. That's all. Time in itself doesn't change anything. And there's nothing mystical. There's nothing mystical going from 2017 into 2018. And I don't care how many prophetic words you may have heard about 2018 or what the prognosticators are saying about 2018. It's from one day to the next, it's the same day. It's the same sun rising, sun setting kind of thing. So if change is going to come, it's only going to come through us. What do I mean? Of course, God is the initiator of radical spiritual change, and we look to him. I don't mean by self-will we can change anything, but what I mean is this. If we continue with the same routine today that we had tomorrow, we'll get the same results. If we live the same way today as we live yesterday, we'll get the same results. So if, I may have said that wrong, my point was if we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, we're only going to get the same results. So just thinking, okay, I make a resolution. Haven't you made resolutions before? Well, this year is going to be different. Well, didn't you say that before? So what's going to make this year different? I want to help you. I want to encourage you today. I want to be practical. And let's start here, all right? One thing. Focus on the most important area in your life that needs to change. What is that one thing? You may make 10 resolutions. The more resolutions you make, the more resolutions you are likely to break. All right, let's just be realistic. I mean, unless you're the kind of person, I've made 20 resolutions each year for the last 20 years and I've kept every one of them. It's now 400 resolutions. Okay, great. You're different than most of us. But the more you make, the more you're likely to break. And the more you make, the less important some of them are going to be. So here is the big question. The one thing, the thing that is most important to you. The thing that you believe is most important in your life before God or with your family or with your vocation or just in your own personal life, what is that one thing? Paul was writing to the Philippians, and he was talking about his own life, his own burden, his own calling, and he says something very interesting there. In Philippians, the third chapter, just in terms of how Paul lived, and the things that moved him and the things that motivated him. And he makes clear that it's all about Jesus, of course. And he says, you know, he's left everything for him and counts it just dung, just nothing for the extraordinary surpassing value of knowing Messiah Jesus as his Lord. Being found in him, he says, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but one that is through faith in Messiah, the righteousness from God based on faith. And he says this, my goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from among the dead, not that I've already reached the goal, or I'm already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I also have been taken hold of by Messiah Jesus. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. Do you get that? Forgetting what is behind, reaching forward, straining forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Messiah Jesus. So what he's saying is this, that there is one specific thing that he is giving himself to. There is the prize. There is that which matters most. So let me ask you a question. Do the things that matter most in your life get sufficient attention? The things that you know are most important in God's sight, most important in the light of eternity, most important in terms of you could rank them out, lay them out, say these are most important, are they getting adequate attention in your life? Are you treating them as if they're the most important? Now look, I understand you may say my greatest burden is to pray, but right now I'm working a job. It's like 50 hours a week plus a commute. Or my greatest burden is to be doing fresh writing, but we just had our third kid in 4 years, and I'm home with three little kids, and I can't find time for expression and writing and creativity. I understand that there may be things we know we're called to do or burdened to do, and in a particular season of our lives, we can't give it the attention that it needs, in which case we just let that cry go up from our heart all the time. Lord, your will be done. Your purpose is fulfilled. And take the time you can, use it as you can, and believe God for the very best in the days ahead, that you're going to sow seeds now that you'll reap the harvest of in the future. But here's what's really, really important. There are choices we can make. If you know, for example, that your marriage is the most important thing in the world right now, and you've got to give attention to it, are you giving attention to it? You know right now you got one kid in particular that really needs you. Are you giving attention to that? You know that the biggest area in your life you need to grow in personal holiness. Is that getting adequate attention? You're pastoring a flock, and you know you've got to develop this church into being a soul-winning church. Is that getting the adequate attention? Look, maybe you know that you need to get in good physical shape. You're dying. You are terribly sick. But the doctor says with radical change in your lifestyle, you don't have to die young. And okay, so that's the priority. That's the priority right then. It's a life and death kind of thing. And sadly, in our lives, often the things that are the least important get the most attention. And the things that are the most important get the least attention. So honestly, this is a great time to evaluate your life. You're starting a brand new year. You said, well, you just said to me that one day is no different than another. It's true, but we do mark things a certain way. You know, maybe when you turned 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever the age was, maybe when you got married, maybe when you graduated from college, maybe when you had your first child, maybe the first grandparent passed away, whatever. There are things that you remember, that you mark them, and they make a mark on your lives, and you think, okay, what am I going to do now? Now that I'm at this phase, okay, I just graduated from college, so I can't look at myself the way I looked at myself a few years ago. Or I just took ownership of a company. I can't look at myself just like an employee anymore. Or our kids are now all teenagers. I have to set a certain example with teens and relate to them a certain way. How should I be living? So right now, we're starting 2018. And here I am on the air praying, God, how do we start the year together? This is not a call-in day. We're not talking about the news today. If there's earth-shattering breaking news, I'm not talking about it on the air today. All right? The question is, what matters most in your life? If I said to you, if you could change any one area of your life, what would it be? If I could say to you, what area of your life needs the most attention right now and you believe is the most important in God's sight, well, what would you say? What would you say? That is what you need to focus on, friends. because if you don't give the main things the main emphasis, they'll never get it. They'll never get it. I know you've heard this analogy from me before, or this illustration, but I was told that there was a public speaker, and he had his audience there, and he wanted to illustrate a point. So he brought out this big vase, glass, some would say vase, some would say vase, but he brought out a big vase, all right? And he filled it with these pretty big rocks. And when he put the last one in, it was right up to the top. He said, how many think that this is full? Well, every hand went up. You couldn't get another big rock in there. They said, ah, wait. And then he came out with these real small rocks, real, real small. And he started to pour them in, and they kind of fell in the cracks. And it's like, how many think it's full now? Well, majority, but now people aren't so sure. Then he came out with these tiny little pebbles and began to pour them in, and they fell in places that nothing else could find. How many think it's full now? Oh, looks full. All right, one more thing. He now comes with sand, and now the sand finds places and says, how many think it's full now? I mean, it's up to the top, the sand, the pebbles, the small rocks, the big rocks. Okay, it's full. All right, what's the mode, what is this story about? Okay, what's the moral of the story? Well, when I heard it, I thought, there's always room for more. No, that's not the moral of the story. The moral of the story is put the big rocks in first, because if you don't put them in first, there won't be room for them later. Ah, a surprise moral. And I don't know how many times I've thought about that with my own life, with prayer and getting alone with God, because I'm a productive person. You leave me alone. You're out of the conference somewhere. You're on vacation somewhere. You leave me alone in my room for the day. And I've written two articles. I've written a chapter for a new book. I've put out another video for social media, and I've answered 100 emails. I'm a productive person, but how much did I pray? How much did I stop and get alone with God and worship Him and be intimate with Him and pray? And so, put in the big rocks first, my friend. What is the biggest rock in your life? What is the thing that must come first? Unless you make the determination to put that first, it will not happen. So can I urge you? Can I encourage you? Write it down. Think about it every day. Pray about it every day. Look at it every day until you make the changes necessary to make the main thing in your life. We're just getting started. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to today's New Year's show here on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, so glad to spend this time together with you, talking about putting emphasis on the one thing, the key area in your life where you know change needs to come. Even if you say, look, I've been around this block over and again, and I want to change, but I don't see change coming. Well, are you praying at least? You say, that's my problem. I don't pray a lot. Well, certainly, through the day, you can remind yourself. You can have an alarm go off. You can put a note somewhere to see it. Through the day, you can constantly say, Lord, I need help. Lord, I need help. Lord, I just keep messing up here. Lord, help me in this one thing. I'm talking about a 10, 20-second prayer through the day. 10 times you pray, 20 times, 50 times. Just you keep, and then sometimes you get extended times in prayer. But if you'll keep going to God, if you keep asking for help, if you keep saying, Lord, I need to change here, I'm telling you, God will hear your cry, and He will help you. I have noticed that there are things that I prayed for many years before I saw the realization, before I saw the answer. But when it came, it was glorious. It was extraordinary. It was powerful. It was amazing. It's almost like this, you're a woman and you believe that God wants you to be married, and you're sure you're supposed to have 12 children. But how could this happen? I mean, you're 30 years old now. and you're still not even married, and 12, how could you possibly have 12 children, you know, and you're not married yet, and by the time of having one kid after another, you know, you'll be in your 40s or 50s, how is it going to happen? And then after years of prayer, you've been praying about the husband and family since you were 15, God brings the right person, just the right person into your life to be your husband and be the father of these kids. And you start having kids pretty quick. And lo and behold, you have twins and triplets and twins and triplets. And before you know it, it's like, we got 12 kids? And I'm not even 40 years old. How did that happen? And the kids are amazing kids, and every one of them loves Jesus, and you and your husband are provided for by God. In other words, it took longer than expected, but when it happened, it was like, whoa, I've seen that. I've seen that effect, and I often use the analogy of the rubber band, that you feel that rubber band being pulled back, and you think, I'm going backwards, I'm forwards. The more I pray about this, the further away I am from the goal. The more I pray about this, the less reality I see that's going to happen. What in the world? And you think, man, this rubber band's about to break, but God pulls it, and when he releases it, explodes. Can I give you just an example? When I wrote the book, Our Hands Are Stained with Blood, I wrote it out of an intense burden. I began writing the book literally on my face. I was in prayer. I was so burdened to convey to the church the pain of the Jewish people. And I couldn't even get to sit down at my desk. This is the early 90s, where my computer was. Instead, I reached onto the table, grabbed something to write with a piece of paper, and there, laying on my face on the carpet floor of my study in Maryland then, I started to write by hand the opening chapter of Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. That's how burdened I was. And you say, what do you mean you couldn't get up? I mean, I was so burdened in prayer that I literally... It took everything in me just to reach on the table and grab something to write with, and I began to write the words of that. And then I'd written about half of the book. I went to Korea early 1990 for 3.5 days of prayer and fasting. It was a big conference, about 1,800 people shut in this giant gymnasium together, and I had a tiny little hotel room I stayed at, but everybody else basically camped out at the gymnasium. I mean, sleeping in sleeping bags. It was real Spartan conditions. And for 3.5 days, we fasted. Nobody ate anything. We just drank water. Nobody had food. 3.5 days, and all we did was pray and worship, pray and preach, pray and teach, pray and worship, and fasting the whole time. And when I got back, and we had tremendous prayer for Israel and the Jewish people at the end. When I got back home, God stirred me. I finished writing the second half of the book in about 3 weeks. Then I spent about 6 weeks working on the end notes and filling all of that in. And then I'm ready to publish it. And the normal publisher I was working with, he wasn't sure he wanted to publish it. And I went to another publisher and they weren't sure. And I thought, what in the world? And for 9 months, I agonized in prayer over getting that book out. I thought, this doesn't make any sense. God stirred me to write the second half of the book basically in 3 weeks. You know, out of this tremendous burden of prayer that I had coming back from South Korea, and now I can't get the book out. What? This doesn't make any sense. Why? Why? Come on, hurry, we got to get to the airport. Come on, hurry, we got to get there. And we get to the airport. When's the flight? Oh, in 6 hours. Well, why do we have to hurry? We could have gotten here 4 or 5 hours later. Why the hurry? That's how I was feeling spiritually. And then at a certain point, I realized that God wanted me to birth the book in prayer, that the same prayer that had helped move me to write the book was now the prayer that was going to help birth the book, and that God wanted it birthed rightly, and that meant birthed with more prayer and with more tears and with more agony of spirit crying out to God. And this went on for roughly 9 months. 9 months, that sound familiar, ladies? 9 months, anything significant to 9 months and giving birth? And then, after 9 months, the book was published. So now, when I say it was published, I should say we found the publisher, and then the book was published. Now, here's the thing. It ended up being published with the publisher I started with. However it is that we didn't agree on it the first time, we ended up totally agreeing on it. Now listen to this. I tell you this story for a reason, to encourage you. The book came out in 1992. Right now, it's 2018, okay? So we're going into 26 years that the book is out. It has never gone out of print. It still sells a good amount every single year. And it has been translated into more languages than any book I've ever written. And to this day, I hear reports from people saying that was the book that changed their life. That was the book that opened their heart to God's perspective for Israel. That was the book that impacted them in this way and that way, gave them a burden for the Jewish people and corrected wrong theology they had. And finally, after all these years, we've talked with the publisher. They asked me, would I like to put out a revised and updated edition? Would I like to put out something that will talk about more recent events in the Middle East and the latest attacks on the Jewish people, or even add more to the theological section, or discuss more the hatred of the Jews in the world and beef up more about anti-Semitism in church history? I said, absolutely, let's do it. So, we've got a target date for doing that as well. I guess the revised edition coming out, a year and a half, something like that. But here's the whole reason I tell you the story. As I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, God, I finished the book. Why is it just sitting? It's got to get out now. 9 months of prayer before the publisher I started with agreed. It could have happened 9 months earlier. It's the same publisher. But God wanted more prayer behind it. God wanted more prayer behind it. And that, my friend, was a key thing. So when that book was released, it instantly took off. When that book was released, boom, out of the chute, it was being used by God and touching lives. And I mean, how often do you hear from a translator of your book saying, I'm translating your book, weeping and wailing and crying and screaming? Yeah, I remember that from the Chinese translator. That's how impacted he was by it. I didn't tell you that story to tell you how great the book is. I believe it's a powerful book and the Lord's using it, and it's all to his glory. I told you that to say that sometimes things are delayed, and the whole reason they're delayed is so that we'll give ourselves more to prayer. The whole reason that they're delayed is that we'll seek God's face more earnestly. The whole reason that they're delayed is because God wants to do something deeper. So what is it in your life maybe is being held up? You believe God's given you promises. You believe he's called you to certain things. You believe he's made his will plain, and yet you seem to be hitting a wall, and yet you seem to be going around in circles. Could it be that what needs to happen is more prayer? Could it be that what needs to happen is you need to get to that point where you can't live without the breakthrough, and that you are consumed with a burden to pray and pray and pray and cry out and seek the face of God and fast until the answer comes, until change comes? You say, well, you're putting it all on me. No, listen, friends, God works with us. If we just sit back and do nothing, you can be sure you will get no results. God works his will in us, and we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So when I know God's prompting me, I need to respond. And right now, he may be prompting you. So far, to start this year, I've said two main things. One, make the main thing the main thing. What is the area in your life that needs to change most significantly? Give that area the most attention. That's one. Two, are there things that you know God's promised you, things that you know are important, and yet you can't see the breakthrough, and yet the change has not come? I believe that it's important that you give yourself to prayer for that. Oh God, what about your promise? Oh God, what about the vision? Oh God, what about the need? And you may say, I feel like I can't live another day without the breakthrough coming, and yet you wake up and live another day and yet another day, and it may go on for months. But instead of letting it turn to frustration, let it turn to desperation. And out of that holy desperation, my friend, I'm telling you, you'll see answers come. When they come, they'll be glorious. When they come, it won't just be a drizzle, so to say. It'll be buckets and buckets and buckets of rain. I'm speaking metaphorically about God's blessing and God's answer. Hear this word from Scripture. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not faint. By God's grace, we won't faint. All right, much more to come. I want to give you a powerful personal illustration. We come back today on New Year's Day on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to our New Year's broadcast here on The Line of Fire. Blessings to all just joining us now. And if you've noticed, we are on our new clock. What does it mean? It means that instead of starting right at the top of the hour and right at the bottom of the hour, we start 3 minutes in. So you may hear Christian news, you may hear local updates or programming from your own station there. So 3 minutes. Again, it's just if you're listening live on radio or live online. So we're starting it at, say, if you're listening live Eastern Standard Time, we're starting at 3:03 and then 3:33. And what that means is then we've got longer segments and less breaks. So I'm already feeling it. I mean, I'm normally thinking about our little first section, then a break. No, we're just going for it. So sit back, enjoy the broadcast. Let me encourage you today. I want to tell you a personal story about breakthrough that I think is going to help you as well as we start this new year together. But first, can I make sure that we're connected outside of radio? How many of you know that we do a live feed on YouTube and on Facebook at the same time? A live feed, you can watch on YouTube, soon you'll be able to watch on Facebook as well, not just listen on Facebook. And then we put out new videos every week, and I write normally 4 or 5 articles every week. You say, well, how can I know about that as it's happening? Real simple. Connect with us on our Facebook page. If you haven't done that, just take a second and do it. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, all right? Or connect with us on Twitter. On Twitter, it's Dr. Michael L. Brown. Remember, there are two L's in the middle there. So Dr. 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 Michael L. Brown. Dr. Michael L. Brown. That's another way to connect. Or you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. And that's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on YouTube. Of course, we have the Ask Dr. Brown app and the Line of Fire app. And then our mailing list at the end of every week, we'll send you a synopsis of all the new articles, the new videos we put out during the week. The first of the week, we send you information about special resources we put together for you. And then here and there, some additional testimony. So all this is at the Ask Dr. Brown website. If you say, I didn't get everything down, then just jot this down. askdrbrown.org. askdrbrown.org. And when you write it down, then you'll see you can connect with us. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, all the different ways right there on the website. Okay. Let me encourage you as we start this year together. You know, my book, or the book Nancy and I wrote together, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, it came out January 3rd of last year. So the reason for releasing it at that time, my trainer had told me early on, and then the publisher, the same thing, new year, new you. People want to make change. They want to start afresh. New year, new you. So Breaking the Stronghold of Food came out almost a year ago. So 2 days, it'll be a full year. And boy, we've heard amazing testimonies from people. People have lost in well under a year, 80 pounds and 30 pounds and 50 pounds and off this medication and cured of type 2 diabetes and healthier than they've been in years and years. I mean, great, great testimonies. And what I want to encourage you with is that radical change is possible when you come to that place of recognizing that you have to make radical change. For the most part, what we tend to do, at least I've done for many years, but I think I'm not the only one, is we tend to put Band-Aids on serious issues. We tend to superficially treat serious issues, thinking that it's just going to go away, or it's going to get better by itself, and that's simply not true. Things do not get better by themselves. Things don't just go away, generally speaking. So here's what happens in my own life. For many years, as a boy, I remember walking to the beach during the summer, go to the beach every day. It was right in my hometown, little community I grew up with. You just walk a little while and all the kids were playing at the beach and, you know, whatever games and swimming and volleyball and stickball, you know, whatever games we'd be playing, wiffle ball and running around and different things. So we'd spend hours and hours on the beach every day. And I remember I had like this a little bit of a stomach I was like conscious of that, you know, and we weren't thinking about getting all in shape and getting your bodies ripped then. It just was not the consciousness. And we were younger kids, but I remember feeling I had this little stomach. So when I got as a teenager and my drug years, I was real thin, just part of the whole drug scene. And I was pretty thin for a while, but as I started to get older and then started to get into my later 20s, I just started to put some more weight on, and I just had bad eating habits. Many of you know my story, but I loved pizza. I loved chocolate. I loved, you know, burgers and fries and those kind of things. So I just ate in an unhealthy manner and put more weight on. And then I had a season of real prayer and fasting, and I lost a good amount of weight. And then for a season, you know, no sweets, but I went off that. I went back on sweets and then really got re-addicted to chocolate and these other things and my other bad eating habits, the pizza and all that stuff. I just thought, oh, it's fine. It's not so bad. And, you know, I remember one time being stupid enough to think that I was not going to get pizza one day. I was going to get like a steak burger and fries, thinking that was healthier. I mean, that's how little I knew about nutrition. You know, so from bad to very bad, I thought I was doing something good. But over the years, for many years, I was bothered by being overweight. Maybe I was 20 pounds overweight. Maybe I was 40 pounds overweight. Maybe I was 60 pounds overweight. Remember, I'm almost 6'3", so I'm a pretty big guy, and sometimes working out during it. So maybe I got away with it a little bit more than others because I was bigger. But I would journal. Okay, here, and I have like a list of 10 things I need to see change in my life, you know, and just praying into these things on a regular basis. And my weight was there. Sometimes it was high up. Okay, what am I asking for in this new year? What more than anything am I asking for in this new year? And high up there is asking for God to help me with change with my diet. And my mentality, though, was I have a plan. My mentality was, well, I'll make this change or that change. Well, those little changes didn't work. Those incremental little changes went nowhere. And here and there, I'd see a little change, but then I go back to my old ways. I was deceiving myself. Friends, do you know it's as easy to deceive yourself as it is to deceive someone else? And that's why James Jacob tells us in the first chapter of his book, don't deceive yourselves. And he said, the man that's a hearer of the word and not a doer is like the man who looks in the mirror. He sees what's wrong, right? He looks in the mirror, sees what's wrong, but then he walks away, forgets about it. That's how we can be. So, my plan, tomorrow's going to be different than today. Why? You're doing the same thing today that you did yesterday. Why do you think tomorrow's going to be any different? I'm talking to myself now. This is how I lived for years. Well, it's going to be better tomorrow. Well, unless you do something differently tomorrow, it's not going to be better. And probably the way to see change tomorrow is by living differently today. Not by thinking about what you're going to do differently tomorrow, but by living differently today. Isn't that the emphasis in Scripture? Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. So I came to a point in 2014, 3.5 years ago, I came to a point where I thought something has to change. Something has to change. My plan is not working. I weigh 275 pounds. Most people would not have thought I weighed that much. And if I said to them, I need to lose like 95 pounds and get down to 180, they would have told me I was crazy. You know, if most people, if I lost 30 pounds, we'd say, you're looking great. Well, if I lost 30 pounds, I still had like 65 more pounds to go. When Nancy would tell me you should weigh 180 pounds, I thought, that's crazy. There's no way. I mean, 200, I'd be super thin. There's just no way. Whereas 180 is a good weight for me. Yeah, it's. I look thin, but it's good weight. I should be thin. No, it's proper for my body. So I finally got to that point. I thought to myself, you're getting older, not younger. How many ticks does your heart have? Aren't you abusing it by carrying this extra weight around? You got high blood pressure. Your bad cholesterol is high. Your good cholesterol is low. Your schedule is not slowing down anytime soon, and your clothes, your loosest clothes aren't loose right now. And that had only happened to me, you know, once or twice before, where the loose clothes, the fat clothes, as I'd call them, were fitting me a little tight. I thought, I can't buy something bigger. I can't. I was crying out to God for help. And when I went through my journal, I saw for years, it may be once in a year, once in 2 years, once in 3 years, but it would come up again, embarrassed by my weight, or upset about being overweight, or God help me. And Nancy didn't even know it was on my mind as much as it was. And I finally got to that point. I didn't know she had been praying for me regularly and crying out and asking God to give her creative ideas of things she could give me to eat and cook for me and teach me to prepare and whatever. And I said to her, August 23rd of 2014, my plan is not working. I'm getting heavier. My blood pressure is high. My plan's not working. I need to make a change. And she knew what that meant. She knew, finally, I came to grips with the fact that if I wanted to see radical change, I had to make radical change. If I wanted to see major things happen, I had to take major steps. It is that simple. And she said, all right, don't eat anything unless I give it to you. As the way she likes to put it now, no food passes into your mouth without my supervision. I mean, that, I said, great, great. And God gave me supernatural grace. Now, I've had some battle. I haven't had battles really for many a month, but early on, it was miserable. 3 days of withdrawal because of my addictions to chocolate and other foods. And then weeks of working to change my mindset so that food was not my reward. That food was not the thing built into my life to bring me a reward in the midst of my busy schedule. You know, I'm traveling, I get to eat at the airport where they serve these snacks on the plane. Well, I'm traveling, I get to eat these snacks. Well, I get to the hotel, they got fresh baked chocolate chip cookies. That's a gift, I eat that. I go to my room, they have a little gift basket for me there. Well, surely, it's the chocolate's there, the M&Ms, and it's there for me. And well, I'm out on the road. Okay, I'm only here every so often. Let me get this meal here. And okay, I'm writing all night, I'll snack. And I realized food was my reward. It was just built in. So I had to change my way of thinking, change my relationship to food. And by God's grace, he helped me. 3.5 years, basically without an exception. And when I say basically without an exception, I may have eaten some grilled meat that was salted, but I don't use salt anymore. And I told them don't put anything on it, and maybe they did, because I'll have grilled meat like once a week. So maybe that happened, okay? Or maybe the particular dressing, I've forgotten to bring my own dressing. So I didn't get to use my normal locale dressing. I had to use some generic thing. But otherwise, what I'm saying is I've made no exceptions by God's grace. I haven't had a piece of chocolate. I haven't had a slice of pizza. All the junk food I used to eat, I haven't had any. Nothing fried, nothing that's off my diet have I had by God's grace for 3.5 years. And of course, you know the story. Listen, 8 months, lost 95 pounds. Blood pressure went from 149 over 103 to about 100 over 65. Cholesterol went from a high of 230 down to 123, and the good is where it's supposed to be. The bad is where it's supposed to be. I haven't had a headache in 3.5 years. Where I used to have a headache probably 4 times a week. Lower back pain gone. It used to trouble me all the time. I don't need a breathing machine anymore. Radical change came. How? I realized radical steps had to be taken. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, some of you are already enjoying our new clock. Like, wow, that was nice. Nice long segment. No interruptions, you bet. And now we've got one more long segment until we close out the show. So, again, we start 3 minutes later, top of the hour, bottom of the hour, and then longer segments, less breaks. Overall per hour, more radio time for each of you, more video time for you watching as well, less interruptions. All right, we'll be back to taking calls and interacting on what's happening in the world around this, but today we are just focusing on changing our lives in this new year, and tomorrow, God willing, take your calls, catch up with things happening in the world around us. So for me, the big change came when I realized that my plan was not working. Can I encourage you to be honest with yourself? Look, God's not here to condemn you. I was just talking with an old friend, hadn't seen her and her husband in some time, and we were talking about going through hard times and some of the things that we, you know, folks have passed through. We were talking about one person that had lost a child, and then it had 4 major surgeries and so on, and they weren't, and then, you know, in terrible pain, couldn't even get, you know, in bed in terrible pain 20 out of 24 hours in a day and so on. And we were just talking about life together, you know, talking about this friend of ours, this mutual friend that we had, And, you know, the friend was struggling in some things spiritually. I said, you think God's beating that person up? What's with you? No. God's saying, hey, I'm pleased you still have faith and are trusting me after all you've been through. So my purpose is not to beat you up or for you to beat yourself up. I encourage you to be honest, to be ruthlessly honest. One of the things that I most appreciate about Nancy, my precious bride, as we look forward to our 42nd anniversary in March, is that she just tells the truth. It doesn't dawn on her to do something else. Now, she's sensitive and compassionate and has a lot of wisdom, but it doesn't dawn on her that there's another way other than to tell the truth. It's like, but you asked. That's the truth. When our daughters were teenagers, they'd put on an outfit and they'd say, Mom, does this make me look fat? And she'd say, yes. They go, Mom. She said, well, you asked me. If you didn't ask, I wouldn't say anything. If you came by me in the outfit, I wouldn't have said anything. But you asked, so I'm going to tell you the truth. So I'll be all psyched about something. Hey, I'm working on this new book. I started writing this. I'll send you something. What do you think? She goes, no, it's no good. What do you mean it's no good? God really inspired me to write it. It's powerful. And no, it's no good. What do you mean? She'll say, well, you're the writer. Figure it out. And I'm like, I can't figure it out for the life of me. And then I go back and look at it like a week later. It's, that's a stupid way to start this. And I redo the thing and I send it to her. She goes, that's great. That's great. So I always tell people, if Nancy gives you a compliment, write it down, frame it, ask her in writing, or if she tells you orally, make sure you hear it right. Write it down and frame it, because you may not get another compliment like that for a while, because it doesn't dawn on her that when she sees something wrong, that she should tell you all the nice things first. It's just, wow, that's wrong. Why? Because she has an eye for it, because it's something God put in her life, making her like a plumb line kind of person. But it's also love. It's love that motivates people to tell the truth, because they want to help you, not hurt you. So what I'm encouraging you to do is to tell yourself the truth, to be honest with yourself. Is your plan working? Oh, this year I get out of debt. This year we turn the company around. This year, okay, can I ask you? Have you felt that same way before? Yes. Has the company turned around? Have your personal finances turned around? Has that situation turned around? No. Well, why do you think it's going to be any different this time? Well, I just feel it. Well, didn't you feel that last time? Yeah. Well, then what's going to make this time different? Well, I know it is. Well, you knew it the other time. You have to get to that point where you're honest with yourself. And finally, I got to that point. Now, I have no question God was working in my life to get me to that point. I have no question that he was initiating things in me and initiating it in Nancy's heart to pray. And that's where we were both crying out to God at the same time. I don't look at this as we did it all. And then the Lord said, okay, I'll help you now. No, he was helping us the whole way through. But if you are coming to that realization, my plan is not working. If you are coming to that realization of I'm going around in circles, it could well be that God is bringing you to that point of realization. Yes. So now be honest with yourself. Take inventory. Look in the mirror and say, okay, my prayer life is miserable. Or I'm addicted to this pill, this prescription pill. Or I got a real problem with pornography. Or I'm a glutton. Or I'm a mean person. I'm just mean-spirited, angry, cruel, or whatever. I don't have any faith. Whatever it is, be honest. God already knows. Oh, let me say this further. God knows it better than you know it. If you come to a revelation about your own character, man, I need to change. Trust me, in God's sight, we may see 1/10 of the areas where we need to change, or 1/100. God sees them all. God sees them all. So be honest with yourself. I read a quote once, I don't know if it was Oswald Chambers or Charles Spurgeon, but to the effect of that no one will ever say worse things to you about you than you've said about yourself to yourself. You know what I'm saying? When you are really in repentance before the Lord, Lord, I'm a wretch, Lord, I'm unworthy, Lord, I'm so far from you, Lord, I'm a foul sinner, that No, I mean, look, you have crazy, he's going to say crazy things about you. But generally speaking, you're going to accuse yourself before God more harshly than anyone else is going to accuse you. God is not out to destroy you. God speaks the truth to you in love. Jesus says in Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline, therefore be zealous and repent. And for some of you, it's not out of repentance. Your situation is not sin. Your situation is just really bad and really messed up and really needing help. So my encouragement to you, my exhortation to you, is to be honest. We're starting a new year, and we have heard from readers of Breaking the Stronghold of Food, which, by the way, is on major Christian TV being featured afresh this week. So 1 year after it's come out, being featured afresh. So I trust you many will get the book and be helped. But I saw a testimony of one pastor. He said, your book just really convicted me. I had to make change. And his case wasn't as severe as mine. Maybe he had to lose like 40 pounds and he's lost 30-something now, but so encouraged and feeling like a new man and energy off the charts, and he's eating healthily. He's exercising. Just major, major changes have come. And what happened was he had to get to that breaking point. Don't let it be that the breaking point is when your spouse walks out and you realize, oh, I need to concentrate on my marriage. Don't let it be that the breaking point is when the doctor tells you, you're going to die in 6 months unless you change your lifestyle. Don't let the breaking point be that you know, a kid commits suicide, and then you realize, you know, one of your kids that, wow, they really were having problems. I should have concentrated more and given them more time. Don't let the crisis be that you get fired from your job for negligence or have to file for bankruptcy. Let the wake-up call be in your own relationship with God, that you become sensitive. In your own relationship with God, that you recognize the need, and that you recognize this prompting, this pushing, I need to change. I know I need to change. So in my case, and of course we document everything in our book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. If you don't get it, I really encourage you to get it. Get it wherever you order online or in your local bookstore, if they still have them stocked there. But by all means, get it. Get it from our website, AskDrBrown.org. And you'll see Nancy and I will be there to coach and encourage you and say, hey, you can change. By God's grace, you can change. If we can change, me, the poster boy for unhealthy eating my entire life, Nancy, a self-described glutton, if we could change, anyone could change. And also, what's on my mind, we launched a new Facebook page called We're Breaking the Stronghold of Food. Not just Breaking the Stronghold of Food. That was a Facebook page just about the book that the publisher put up. This is called We're Breaking the Stronghold of Food. So we've encouraged folks to post testimonies there, encourage one another. I'll post in there in the future. As Nancy's schedule clears, she's hoping to post in there as well so we can encourage you. But let it be that you realize change needs to come in whatever area it is, and be honest with yourself, and then ask for God's grace. Ask for God's grace. God, I'm in over my head. God, this is too big for me. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed prayers like that. You say, you? Dr. Brown, you're so strong. Mike, you're so confident. True, but my strength and confidence comes from the Lord, number one. And number two, I'm fully aware that in many situations, I am in way over my head, and I need help big time, really big time. So this is where you start. God, I'm in over my head. God, I don't know how to change. I absolutely confess my weakness, and I need help. And when you humble yourself, God gives grace to the humble. When you humble yourself, God gives grace to the humble. That is super, super, super important. And when you lean on Him, He won't let you down. You say, do I just lean on Him and do nothing? Lean on Him and then do what you can do. Lean on Him and do what you can do. And if He's called you to do something, you can with His help. I can't. With His help, you can. Outside of Him, you can't. With His help, you can. Hey, can I pray for you as we start the new year together? Father, I thank You for my precious listeners and precious viewers. And I pray that You touch them, that You would bring them to the end of themselves in an area where they need to make radical change. And may You help them in this new year to walk it out. Lord, we are weak in ourselves, but when we are weak, Your strength is made perfect in us. May 2018 be a year of glorious, radical, and lasting change. I pray it in Jesus' name. Hey, friends, remember the website, AskDrBrown.org.